Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bajaj Electricals Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varun Singh from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, it's our absolute pleasure to host the management of Bajaj Electricals for this conference call. On this call, we are joined with Mr. Anuj Poddar, MD and CEO, and the CFO, Mr. EC Prasad. We request the management to kickstart the presentation, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Varun. Good evening, everyone. This is Anuj Poddar. Thank you for joining in for our call today. Hopefully, you had a chance to go through our results as well as the investor deck that we have shared. I'll just keep my opening comments very brief. As you know, the market environment and the demand situation is fairly tough. In that situation, I'm pleased that we've reported a good performance this quarter. If I talk first about our consumer products segment, we've demonstrated or delivered a growth in revenues of about 9% in this quarter. That is well ahead of industry, and therefore, obviously, you know, signals the market share gains that we have delivered, and that is something consistently for the last 2-3 years we've been focusing on increasing our overall growth in market share. And we've done this without really impacting or hurting our margins. So our margin profile remains intact on an absolute basis. Our profitability and EBIT for the consumer business is up. Coming to the EPC business, that's the other headline that I will talk about. For all this while, we've always been speaking about the turnaround going on in the EPC business. We've been seeing that for the past couple of years and many quarters. I'm happy that this year, FY23, is the first year after about 3 years that we've delivered a positive or break-even performance on the bottom line of EPC. Equally important is the trend that you see on the top line of EPC. We've now started in the last year accepting and bidding for new orders and starting to grow the revenue in EPC. So you're seeing growth in the top line on EPC in Q4, but also importantly, you're seeing an order book expansion. Just to call out the numbers, our order book in March 22 exit was 800 crores. On December 22 exit was about 1200 crores. Our March 23 exit order book is 1600 crores. What we're signaling is that going forward, FY24, we'll see a healthy revenue growth now for the EPC business, but we're also confident about the composition of this order book that you will see profits kicking in into the EPC business. Last comment that I'll make is that we are on track on the demerger. We have our next hearing on the NCLT on 8th of June. Assuming that all goes well, that should be the final hearing, and we should be on track for having a demerger as of 30th June and therefore being two separate companies from 1st of July. With that, I'll conclude my opening comments and hand it back to you, Varun, for, you know, the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, my question was first in terms of the receivables. Can you guide us in terms of what is the receivable for the CP business, including the lighting, or if you could call out the EPC receivables? On the headline number, there is a substantial increase in the receivable days. If you could elaborate as to what has driven this and how do you see it going forward?
Yeah, so this is EC Prasad. So our total receivables is at 1565 crores as against 1361 in the last March, there has been an increase of about 220 odd crores. Now, if you see the breakup, the EPC business receivables has come down drastically from about 730 crores to 434 crores now. There has been an increase in the CP receivables from about 424 crores to 838 crores. This is predominantly because of two reasons. One is our business mix, which used to be predominantly towards trade till about last year, has changed. So this time the mix has changed from 70-30 to 65-35 in favor of the alternate channels, which includes your e-commerce, modern retail, etc., where instead of a channel financing, we give an upfront credit of about 90 to 120 days. So that is one of the reasons. And apart from that, the market conditions has been tough. So over and above the channel financing facility, we also had to extend some more credit to our dealers and distributors. And that is the reason there is an increase. But I think over the next couple of quarters, this trend will start receding again.
So, Achal, I will just add to that.
Yes.
First headline is all the receivables are healthy receivables. There is no risk or no concern that we have in that. Number two, as he said, you know, while it's a mixed change in the channel profile, it is in the form of a liquidity support that we've given to our channels because, you know, in a low demand situation, there are two or three levers that you have. One is a lever of price discounting. Second is liquidity support. You know, we've kept that within certain norms and calibration that we've done, but ultimately, we're balancing two or three factors, our revenue growth, our market share, our pricing, discounting schemes such that to protect our margins and finally liquidity support, such that all three are ultimately optimized for us and we're comfortable with what we've done.
Understood. Second question I had, you know, with respect to the growth, the market share gains, you know, obviously we see that we have done a phenomenal growth. In 3Q and 4Q as well. So can you help us understand what is the extent of market share gain in some of these large categories like fans and water heater and mixers? I think that would be very useful.
So, you know, Achal, there is no concrete third-party industry aggregate data that is there. It is derived from simply the fact that, you know, our growth on revenue across most of these is higher than industry-reported growth. So we are drawing the same inference from that. That's point one. Point two, you know, I want to just step back from this Q3 and Q4 that you mentioned too. For the last 3 years, that's what we've been signaling, that we will keep, you know, driving industry-beating growth. And on a larger spectrum over 3 or 4 years, you will see that we've done that. If not number one, at least in the top two has been a growth profile. Number three, we're doing that in the back of product launches, portfolio expansion, premiumization, and brand strengthening. Okay, to me, those are the drivers. If you look at that also, some examples that we've given in the investor deck of product launches, we did have some white spaces or white within our product portfolio, which we've been plugging in, for example, in fans or 750 watt mixers, et cetera, et cetera. We're plugging that in. So that's a driver to some of these things. Specifically, if I were to call out without specific numbers, I think we've gained market share in coolers and in fans in particular, and then to a lesser extent in some of the other longer tail categories there.
Understood. Thank you. I have more questions, but I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of ValueQuest. Please announce your name and go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks. This is Anirudh from ValueQuest. Couple of questions from my side. So first on the lighting front. So I think consumer lighting obviously has been quite weak this quarter, and we've been guiding that all the GTM changes will sort of start playing out from Q1. So one, are we on track for that? And apart from GTM, do you think there are incrementally more things that need to be done, particularly on product pricing, consumer pull? So you've alluded to some of that in the deck, but if you can, you know, help us in terms of how you're thinking about consumer lighting first.
So here on the lighting, our consumer lighting has degrown this quarter and has been compensated by growth in professional lighting. So on a cumulative basis, it is flat to, I think, 1% growth. I think consumer lighting degrowth that we're seeing is more a function of market. You know, we're seeing that across since Q3, that there is a softness in that. It seems to be continuing into Q1 also at a market environment perspective. To your question between GTM versus products, I think our product profile, product launches is completely on track there. Again, we've given some examples in the current deck. GTM, I think, is ongoing transitional. And some of that is both internally as well as we need better market conditions for the distributors or the market or dealers, etc., to start, you know, taking on additional business or, you know, putting their monies onto that. So I think that will also accelerate when the market accelerates for that. So there's a little slowness on the GTM, but on the actual product side, we're completely on track and actually very ready with our entire portfolio.
Understood. And on the consumer pull side, do you think we need to make additional investments, especially to build out lighting, given our market position right now? Or
yes, so we've not invested in the last few quarters on any marketing or media or brand spends for lighting, but we will be doing that in this fiscal.
Understood. So then, sir, how do we think about margins on the lighting front going ahead, assuming that B2B would remain stronger at least for the first half, given the context right now, and some of these additional investments, how are you looking at lighting margins particularly playing out?
So, Anirudh, I can only answer that from a medium to long term. Short term is always hard to call its function.
Right.
I think on a medium to long term, we are very confident about the margin expansion. Again, if you look at this year also, don't look at a quarter, but if you look at an annualized basis, I think we've grown our lighting margins by about 2 percentage points. I think on professional lighting, you know, directionally, we should top out at extremely high single digit, I don't know, that's 8-9% sort of a margins, professional lighting. Consumer lighting, we should in the 2 or 3 years be in the teens of that, in that lighting. How that plays out on a quarter-on-quarter basis is a function of market and also directionally as our GTM as well as products pick up and portfolio mix changes. So directionally, we're very clear in terms of exact timing. It's a function of many things.
Understood. Just one more question from my side on the fans category. So how much gross margin impact do you think we would have had this quarter, given the fact that we would not have passed on the entire BLDC-led price increase or the star rating-led price increase, so to say? And do you now see an environment where slowly it would get passed on, which even the market leader has been alluding to, that over the next couple of quarters at least we should be able to pass on the entire cost increase?
You know, I've seen those comments. I only wish that the market leader does that sooner rather than later. We'll hold them accountable from the actual market action rather than the actual comments. I do think if they do that, we will not shy away from following through on that part. I think it is healthy for the industry and for the consumers to actually take those pricing calls rather than try and cut the cost of the product, etc. That said, you know, I think while we've been impacted by not being able to take the full price increase in Q4, some of that we've, you know, offset in our case by a mix improving. So while we not fully passed on the price increase, but because our mix is healthier now, our share of premium fans is healthier, therefore somewhat we've been able to offset that.
Understood. But any broad sensor in terms of how much higher the margin could potentially have been? I mean, hypothetically, if some of this impact had not come in Q4, I mean, just trying to get a sense in terms of, you know, how much the premiumization strategy has come through in the margins, X of the pricing.
You mean for us, Bajaj particularly? Or
yeah, for Bajaj, correct. Yeah.
So again, very hard to call a number. I think there's so many factors that are at play that, you know, blends all of these things in. You know, I was just looking at our margins for consumer FMEG business, that is our company minus the EPC. On an annualized basis, our gross margin is up about 2 percentage point, okay, which is a healthy increase in 1 year. Again, to my mind, our own portfolio strategy, etc., and premiumization is a bigger driver of some of these changes. While the actual external market, some of that is offset because of price, you know, tactical price movements, etc., in the marketplace. So to us, that is more important, that inherently, structurally, are we strengthening that. Similarly, therefore, on fans also, I think we almost at least 5% underpriced, you know, post-star rating. And that 5% is a significant pricing gap. You know, so if you were to take a 5% incremental, will that happen in 1 quarter, 2 quarters, 3 quarters? Will it all flow down to the bottom line? Little hard to call, but I think you have a room for anything between 3 to 5% price improvement, and at least let's say 3% coming down to the bottom line.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll get back to you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. To ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Akar Zaveri from Perpetual Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is, what is the current consumer perception of foreign five-star rated fans versus the lower star rated fans?
Did you say 4 and 5 star?
4 and 5 star.
Oh, 4 and 5 star.
4 and 5 star.
It's very early stages to, you know, I think the consumer behavior and the market practices will evolve over the next, I would say, 1 to 2 years, not immediately. I think Q4, I don't think consumers have really moved to star rated because of the non-star rated fans yet, you know, highly prevalent in the marketplace. Having said that, we're seeing one divergence in fans compared to larger white goods where you see star rating. If you look at larger white goods, AC refrigerators, they seem to have converged around a 3 star. So, you know, maximum sales are happening around 3 star because people kind of optimize between price and star rating. In fans, we're seeing the opposite behavior right now, where actually they have a polarized behavior, either a segment of consumers buying 1 star fans or buying 5 star, very little in the middle. But I think that's also a function of supply and product evolution. As more relevant products come into a 3-4 star category, we'll see that start to even out a little more. The other view I have is that, you know, 5 stars, rather than focusing on star, there's an over-focus on BLDC. I think ultimately the currency of buying and selling and of consumer evaluation will move to purely star rating, not the technology. Because ultimately technology is a means to that end. That's for us as industry to bother about. The consumer should be caring about star rating. And why I'm saying that is because technology will continue to evolve. The star rating is a currency that will remain.
Got it. And you said like our mix of premium fans has increased. How do we define premium?
So let me put it the other way. You know, for us, we were largely known as a sub-economy manufacturer. Almost 74% of our sales was coming from sub-economy. By that I mean approximately 1,500 MOP. Okay. Now that 74% is down to about 67% this year. So that's a 7 percentage point shift towards economy and premium. So everything other than sub-economy. I think a 7 percentage point shift in 1 year is fairly strong, but I think that trend should continue as strong or significantly over the next 2-3 years, where we'll significantly see an increase in premium fan share for us.
Okay. And how much is BLDC as a percentage of our current overall fan portfolio, and how do we expect it to move over the next 2-3 years?
So for us particularly, that right now that is extremely small because we've just launched BLDC fans this season. I think in the next couple of years, you'll see BLDC pick up for us. Right now, it's negligible.
Okay, and my last question would be that could you throw some color on the current channel inventory scenario? Like, how is it currently, and you know, when do you expect it to normalize?
You're talking in the context of fans in particular.
Yes, fans in particular. Yes.
So I think somewhere by end of Q2 that should have normalized, because you know, 3 to 4 to 5 months is adequate for some of that to start normalizing. But it's a linear line; it's not, you know, 0-1. So that is already starting to. But by end of Q2, you will pretty much have seen normalized channel inventory of fans. To the earlier point, I just want to add to BLDC, while I said that, you know, right now it's negligible, our products are pretty much there. So it's not that we're waiting to play the BLDC game. We're very much in the game, but I think that pickup will now start happening in the next, you know, over the next couple of years.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a question from the line of Manoj Gori. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question would be on the appliances side. So we have been taking a lot of efforts on appliances as well as on Morphe Richards. Can you please update, like, what's the current status, where are we and where we are heading, probably FY24 and FY25?
So, Manoj, you are from?
The Equirus Securities.
Okay, thank you so much. So the appliances, if you see, we've had about a 16% growth in Q4. That's a good performance. I think the key driver for us in this quarter has been coolers, also aided by the weather and heat that is there. That said, you know, we continue to grow our appliances across the other categories. The example we've given is of the 750-watt mixer grinder Ninja series that we mentioned in the investor deck that is doing well. Similarly, of, you know, grills, etc. So given that we're a very wide multi-category appliance player, we are continuing to drive that across various appliance categories. In terms of your reference to Morphe Richards, I think it has been a weak year and a weak few quarters for Morphe Richards, but we're in the process of completely revamping the Morphe Richards product portfolio. you should start seeing some action on that later half of this year, where you'll see more traction and growth in Morphe Rituals. Overall, directionally, our work strategically on appliances in line with the brand repositioning of Built for Life. So we are upgrading our appliances both in terms of quality, durability, and making them more aspirational and premium. So you're seeing that premiumization play out across all the appliance categories, not just fans.
Right. So in appliances, so obviously you rightly highlighted, like in fans, as you highlighted, like 74% of sub-economy contribution came down to roughly around 67%.
Right.
How do you define the premiumization in appliances and obviously some of the recent launches where you have started launching 3-jar mixer grinders, which I believe would be a premium product, or probably a 750-watt mixer grinder motors. So
yes.
How do you see the overall mix changing over there, and probably how should we look at from next 2 to 3 years point of view as well?
So, you know, given that there's so many categories and so many parameters, therefore there isn't a singular metric. But, you know, to take the examples that you mentioned there, I'll give you multiple examples. You know, you mentioned 3-jar, that's an example. 750 watts is another example. In the case of irons, we are largely a dry iron with coming steam irons. In the case of coolers, we do not have the full range, and we've got a wider range and more higher ASP products, and so on and so forth. So, you know, water heaters, we're typically the older generation water heaters. If you look at the various water heaters, they're far more contemporary, a greater mix towards storage water heaters rather than just instant, more decorative or premium water heaters, etc. So and so forth. Across all the various categories, we're upgrading. If you look at gas burners, from being a 1 or 2 burner, you know, products to having 3 and 4 burner gas stoves, etc. So every product category has various definitions of premiumization. But directionally, that's what you're seeing across all. I'll give you one more example, from gas burners being steel or metal ones to glass top gas burners. So there's so many of these various factors or components or elements of premiumization, but we're addressing all of them. Overall, finally, it comes down to quality, durability, design, styling, and ultimately, you know, the brand promise that we deliver. So I think all of this together is where we'll, you know, we're confident that next 2-3 years, both our ASPs, our market shares, and our margin profile will enhance because of all of these movements across all the categories.
Right, sir. So last question, if I may squeeze in. On the distribution side, we were focusing on better extraction from the touch points, because I think we are fairly covered in terms of touch points, at least in the smaller cities and towns. And probably we were sharpening our focus on better extraction into larger cities and towns. So any progress over there, and probably how you would rate it probably in FY23 versus FY22 levels?
Yeah. So clearly, again, if you see a growth in this quarter or this year, it is completely coming from extraction. We have not grown on the trade side retail base, so numerically that's kind of flat. All the growth is coming from extraction, point one. Point two, within that also, a mix, you know, towards alternate or the newer channels is becoming healthier. Like we said this year also, I think Q4 numbers, I remember, is about 35% versus 30% in the past. Our, you know, online share has been growing faster. The one I'll call out right now is modern trade. I think modern trade is an exceptional event for us this year. And modern trade, I take as a good proxy for urban and more aspirational consumers. So there, our visibility, our shelf space, the number of SKUs, and our, you know, value per, you know, chain has actually been going up very well. So I think on all of these counts, we're moving well. And that's moving in tandem with the new product launches and the brand investments.
So we should continue to grow faster than the industry across categories.
I would hope so, and I would expect so.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, sir, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you, Manoj.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. One, we have seen there is some increase in the trade discounts. One, obviously, there was a muted demand. And secondly, there is correction in input prices. So to what extent the increase in trade discounts is there right now, and how do you see remaining in next 2 to 3 quarters? And what is strategy of Bajaj to counter that? That is question number one. And secondly, we are seeing, this might be early feedback, but we are seeing that there are many consumer complaints regarding the BLDC fans. So just like similar to the white goods, or even other products like mobiles, etc., will there be any strategy to set up service centers, and can that act as a differentiation? Also, what is the warranty period that Bajaj is offering on this product, again, as a strategy to differentiate? Yeah, that's it from my side.
So the first part on trade discount, you're correct. I think there's a fair amount of discounting right now in the marketplace. Most of that is according to me driven not so much for the commodity, but probably because of a weak demand situation to actually, you know, protect sales, etc. To me, that's more tactical than strategic. I will tell you as a point of principle, we are not big fans of discounting. We are fans of, or rather, have a higher preference towards, you know, preserving price hygiene. That said, like I gave the example of fans, etc., we have to be tactical and we cannot afford to lose market share. And therefore, we will keep doing that more tactically speaking. To us, the offset or compensation for that is while we discount at a product level or SKU level to be competitive to, you know, protect that SKU sales, at a portfolio level, we are targeting ASP increase or realization increase. So I think that's our strategic response to tactical discounting. In terms of consumer complaints on BLDC, I think you're correct. And I think some of that is a mix of not necessarily the leading players always, but sometimes tier 2, tier 3 players, etc. And particularly in the case of BLDCs, because of the PCBs, etc., because those have a differential life versus the physical part of the fan. But I would not attach too much importance to that right now. I think over the medium term, this is part of evolution of both the product and the consumer being willing to pay for that. So you will start seeing that becoming better. I don't think that should be a, you know, it should not be a huge challenge in the long run. That said, that is why I earlier emphasized that, you know, I think as an industry, as a mature industry and as leading players, our focus should not be on the technology. Our focus should be on giving the consumer a right product and energy efficient, which is star rating. Technology has many pros and cons, including BLDC will have pros and cons. So we will rather focus on how do we give them maximum stars and maximum energy efficiency. And then it's for us to manage the trade-offs between a particular technology and the servicing costs of that technology. Lastly, to your question on, actually before that, the question on service centers, I think Bajaj, one of its competitive strengths is our extensive and best network of service centers. So I do think in the medium term for fans, including BLDC, that will be a competitive advantage versus some of the more nascent BLDC players. Your last question on product warranties, typically, you know, our warranty, and like I said, in the case of fans, not just BLDC, we're the first ones to come out with a 5-year warranty on the motors, but the 2-year warranty on other products or other components of the fans.
Mr. Joshi?
Thank you. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Roy from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is regarding, sir, last year you are saying about, regarding, sir, saying about the same store sales growth, sir. Can you highlight on this one, sir?
Yes, so Rakesh, that was what I responded to one of the earlier questions also. Our actual distribution or reach is not expanded. That is now flat. So all our sales growth is coming from SSSG, which is the same as extraction that I answered earlier. So, you know, we are focusing on actually driving same store sales growth, and that's where I think a greater growth will come from in the future.
So, sir, can we hope from this year this will implement or we will get data for SSG?
So it's not external data that we publish. That's an internal metric that we have. So that's more strategic in terms of, you know, extraction being greater growth driver. But quite simply, mathematically put, I'm telling you my distribution network is flat. That means all my growth in this year is really coming out of SSSU extraction.
Okay. So my next question.
That's why when I'm saying distribution network flat, not growing, that's not because we don't attach importance to it, but I think at the number that we are versus competition, I think our marginal growth and, you know, value of that growth will be limited. And therefore, it's more important for us to focus on extraction. That's not a 1-3-year perspective. But if you look at a 5-7-year perspective, you will see distribution and network growth also.
Right, sir. So my next question regarding, sir, can you share the full year ECD number, like how much is appliance, fan, and lighting, amorphous number, sir, for full year, FY23?
We don't have that ready handy right now, Rajnish. We'll have to get back to you.
Sure, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Arun Agarwal from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is on the other expenses. We have seen an increase in other expenses. Even last quarter, we talked about the retailer bonding program, loyalty program, and the increase in logistics costs. So could you just share, throw some light on how these costs have evolved during this quarter?
Yes, I call out two or three items. Logistics cost is up. I think that is above normal. This is part of our transition from Mahindra Logistics back to in-house. To be honest, I don't think the agenda that we had on logistics cost optimization over the last 2 years has played out the way we anticipated it. First, I don't think outsourcing was delivered the strategic goals that we had for it, so we did not realize that benefit then. And then the process of pulling it back again, right now we are not optimal, to my mind. In each of these transitions comes the cost. I think there's a fair amount of one-time cost in the logistics. I would yet say that we have at least 2 to 3 percentage points optimization that can come from logistics. Maybe it will now take another 2 years to realize that. But we're working on that. We will get to that at some point of time. We'll keep working on that. So that is partly baked into Q4. Because of this transition, we have some duplicate costs in Q4. To the RBP, I think while that's numerically appearing in other expenses, that gets netted off somewhere in the revenue and other lines that the discounting happens. It's more a function of RBP was a primary driver of discounting or giving value back to retailers. We've reduced the dependence on RBP, and in turn, we have certain other schemes that play out in the marketplace. I don't think that's so much a... It's, while optically it looks like an increase in other expenses, that's more a reclassification because rather than an RBP, our discounting is sitting elsewhere in the P&L, etc., and looking higher over here. The other elements, there are other smaller elements in the other expenses. There's a certain warranty cost, warranty program that we've got that sits in there. There's R&D step up of investment that we have. All of the R&D increase investments is also sitting in the other expenses. The combination of all of these lines.
So is it possible to quantify the impact of that one-time logistics that you talked about?
So like I gave a guidance, I think you are sitting with about 2 or 3 percentage point improvement that should happen over the next 2 years and on an incremental basis during this period of time.
And so on the ad spend, was it sort of in line with what we have been doing or it was slightly...
So ad spend between last year Q4 to this Q4 was about flat at about 2.5%.
Okay. So the other question I had is on your, even on your depreciation seems to have increased this quarter as compared to the run rate that we have been seeing over the past few quarters. So anything one-off in that?
E.C. Prasad here.
Yeah.
So last year, as you are aware, the logistics was outsourced. So now we have taken it in-house. So all the godowns that we take on rentals, we have to account for as a right to use asset, and for which the depreciation has to be provided. So that is the reason of the depreciation going up.
All right. And sir, also on your CP business margins. So, I mean, it has been a slightly bit on the volatile side and it's also lower than the peak that we have seen in the past. While we understand that the demand is weak, but directionally, if you could just help us guide, how do you see your CP business, the consumer product business margins, over the next 2-3 quarters?
So again, next 2-3 quarters is hard to call out because that's 2-3 quarters more dictated by markets and pricing and discounting. Unless we see a buoyancy in demand, I think margins will stay in pressure, under pressure. But that said, the only long-term solution to margins is more strategic in terms of brand lift, upliftment, portfolio mix, premiumization, etc. So to us, that will be the real counter to any short-term margin pressures from external environment.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. I wanted to check if you adjust for these loyalty program points reversal or these logistic costs, etc., what is the adjusted margin for the fourth quarter and for the full year, if you can help us with that?
So actually a little tough again to quantify or give a specific number for me publicly, etc. And we have an internal sense. But let me give you a more directional answer to that. I think we have many of these things playing out. Some are one time in nature, some are more, you know, a function of external markets. Had it not been for this commodity inflation over the last 1 year, and had it not been for this demand slowdown and therefore this BE transition adding to costs which we cannot pass on, had it not been for logistics, you know, thing that has not gone for plan, I think we would have been sitting close to 9 to 10% right now. Okay. So what I'm saying is, now how do you say which element is contributing how much? None of it can all be perfect in a situation. So now you take anything between none of these issues happening and us being at 10% versus some of this happening, some of this being one time, some not being, and a number in between. So that's the best way I can put it out to you. But I think we're sitting anywhere between a 3 to 4% margin unlocking on a like-to-like as-is basis, plus over a medium term, as you know, our brand moves into a different gear and our products move into a different gear. On top of that, you have more. Now, when will this play out? How will each of these factors play out? Somewhere in the next 3 to 4 years, I'm very confident that they will all accumulate together and play out.
Understood. Just to clarify, this is the CP margins you're talking about, right? Or
only
CP? Okay.
Lighting will have its own trajectory, and EPC, of course, I've spoken about.
Correct. Correct. Next question I had, you know, if we see the power distribution, I see that there is a massive order booking, actually QOQ increase.
Yes.
Can you help us understand? Because if I recall right, the problems what we had faced was largely in the power distribution sub-segment, right? So can you help us? Can you help us understand that? Yeah.
Again, my headline is, these are good orders, these will make money. So first, be very confident and clear about that. Number two, when we had problems in PD, that was particularly rural electrification projects. These are RDSS projects. This is a better scheme, better nature project. Number three, our problems were partly of our own making. When I say our own making, we had bitten off far more than we can chew. We did not have the capacity to take on, you know, that size and quantum of business. I think about 5,000 crores worth of orders. These are far more calibrated. Number four, our project management execution skills today are much better. That's demonstrated in all the projects we've executed over the last, you know, several quarters. If anything, all the legacy power distribution projects actually have been taken to closure and execution and money realized over the last 2-3 years. So that, if anything, is the greatest confidence that our ability to execute them and execute them efficiently is there right now. And finally, to these specific projects, we've done very detailed surveys, technical evaluations, contingency planning, you know, numerical bidding strategy, commercial costing, and upfront negotiation on the supplies, etc. So the way these have been approached in every which way or manner is completely different from the past issues. So again, to re-summarize, the nature of these projects within PD is very different from the erstwhile projects. The quantum of this is far more manageable. The bidding planning computation is far more robust, and the execution capabilities are fully in place. So we are very confident that these will actually generate not just profits in FY24, but even the payment cycles, working capital, etc. has been optimized to actually make that very healthy.
This is very helpful, sir, for the clarification. Just one more thing with respect to capital employed. Is it possible to call out what is the EPC capital employed out of the total capital employed as it gets demerged?
So yeah, EPC capital employed today is 218 crores.
That's on a reported basis, but you know, as we see it getting demerged, what would that number be? Given the unallocable will also get allocated to that, right?
No, so as on the appointed date, the capital employed was 550 crores. So this was what was reported. So.
The rest everything will come in the existing company, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So what the difference between the current capital employed and the capital employed as on that appointed date will go to them as a cash.
Understood. And just a clarification on the other income of 34 crores, is there any one-off out there?
This is predominantly, we have taken insurance on the warranties that we provide to our customers, this manufacturing warranties.
Okay.
Which is treated as an expense in the expense side. And the claims that we get from the insurance companies accounted as other income, which is about 11 crores there. So this will be now a the nature of income that we will be generating, but will be set off against the premium that we pay. We have generated a treasury income of up close to 5 crores. And there are certain write-backs of vendors. So this is about the 32-odd crores that we are talking about.
Oh, you're saying 15, 16 crore is write-back of the vendors?
12-odd crores.
12-odd crores. Understood. Understood. Great. If you could just give a statistic with respect to FY23 versus FY22 in terms of brand spend, advertising, ASP basically.
So Q4 to Q4 is about 2.5%. Let me check the full year number.
Full year. Yeah, yeah. Okay. 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 This is very helpful, sir. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Let us come back to you on that. I don't remember that by heart, but we'll tell you the full year number.
Sure. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. So second half, so here I'm referring on the fans as a category. So second half was very interesting. So probably for you as a company, when you look at your 3Q was extremely strong. Still you did roughly around 2-odd percent growth during 4Q. How do you rate it, and probably also you can say, like, how the have you seen any incremental comfort by trade partners for Bajaj as a brand, and probably have we started seeing any structural market share gains? So that would be helpful, sir.
So, you know, how do we rate us? I'll leave that rating or judgment to yourselves. So we can only report our performance. But I think the numbers show that clearly at least market share gains are happening. So, you know, as long as we are doing that, I think we are happy about that. In terms of, you know, just how are we seeing acceptance of us, etc., it's a little early days, but anecdotally speaking, I can tell you that, you know, that perception is starting to change. I won't call out names of particular stores or particular retailers or, you know, channels, but I was in a visit over the last 2-3 weeks across North and South, and we're at least starting to see openness, and I'm talking metro, leading, you know, counters that would not stock our brand in the past, now starting to sometimes also be caught by surprise. Oh, I did not know you started doing this. For example, in Bajaj doing a ABS blade fan, and if you look at our ABS blade fan, look at the quality, finish, paint, sheen, etc. on that, I would say it's not equal, but better than most of our peers, etc. So I think, you know, as you start making those anecdotal or perception changes, the numbers will follow. We are very confident about that.
Right, sir. So also your focus has been across categories in appliances or fans or lighting. So probably which category would excite you more from a 3 to 5 year horizon, and probably any ambitious goal or aspirational targets that you have set for that category?
So you're asking us to choose between all our children. I think they're all equally precious to us. But that said, I think the delta for us in fans is larger simply because of the market size, and given that we are a laggard, which is not to say appliances or kitchen is not important to us, but we are not, the delta for us over there may not be as much because we have been in a leadership position. The other, and I know lighting is the other part where I think consumer lighting should see a strong delta for us, again, given our traditional weakness in that at a product level also. Okay, but, you know, catch up as that starts happening, you should see stronger growth for us. In, so the first one, fans and consumer lighting, over appliances.
Right, sir. And lastly, sir, how do you see, I would ask you to repeat it, but probably how do you see the underlying demand environment, and any signs you probably see, like, things taking some turn, or probably you continue to see that demand weakness?
To be honest, you know, we're continuing seeing demand weakness. I have yet to see tailwinds on demand, etc. So I think we're having to fight for our sales and revenue. It is, I'm reading some commentary, including FMCG, the essentials, etc., starting to see green shoots. We have yet to see it in our business or sector.
Right, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Just, you know, before I hang up, I want to answer the previous participant's question on the annualized brand spend. So FY22 was 3%, FY23 is 3.2%.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Utkarsh Somaya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you please give me a breakup of the following between the two segments, EPC and consumer products? So the breakup of the current cash on your books, how much will go to the EPC business?
Sorry, Utkarsh, can you repeat? Not very clear. Breakup of the cash?
Right. And a few more line items. You know,
I'm sorry, your voice is sounding muffled, Mr. Somaya.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. The breakup of the cash between the two segments, consumer products and EPC.
So we have a cash and cash equivalent and investments of about 412 odd crores, of which 200 crores pertains to the EPC, which I explained a little bit earlier. The difference between my capital employed as on the appointed date and the effective date will flow to them, and the balance will remain with the CP. So 200 crores approximately goes out to EPC out of this.
Understood. And can you also give me a breakup of the operating cash flow?
Breakup of the operating cash flow.
Like how much cash flow is generated by each business? Is it possible to share that?
No, actually we don't, because this is actually done at a corporate level, so we don't track the operating cash flow.
Can you give me a flavor, like qualitative, like does the EPC business generate cash?
It does. So most of, see, if you actually look at the capital employed, the reduction has actually come from the EPC business because of the collections that they have been doing from the old outstanding. So there has been a significant generation from the EPC business. So this 200 crores that I mentioned is actually the generation which has been done by the EPC business between 1st April 22 and now.
Sorry, you said the 200 crore cash you mentioned has all been generated in the current year.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So from the 450 crore operating cash flow consolidated, is it fair to assume that 200 is generated by EPC and the...
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Right. And I don't know if it's possible, but is it possible to give me a breakup of the depreciation as well?
Recover depreciation.
Yes, the depreciation for the year was 81 crores. So
we don't bifurcate depreciation.
Okay, and what are the working capital days of each business?
I don't have the data right now, so probably we'll get back.
Okay, and just one last question. I wanted the ROC of each business, if possible. Or the capital employed, if you can give me.
Capital employed
of? Both the businesses.
So the total capital employed is 1,907 crores.
Right.
Of which CP consumer business 700 crores.
700 crores.
Lighting is 111 crores.
Right.
EPC is 218 crores.
Right.
And there is an unallocable of 877 crores, which is predominantly the assets, goodwill, all of that stuff.
Sorry, I didn't get the unallocable part. Can you...
Unallocable is 877 crores.
Right.
Yeah, majorly cash and land and the goodwill.
So which business does it belong to? Hello?
Gosh, your voice is extremely feeble.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to understand the unallocable, which is the cash, goodwill, and land. Which business does that belong to? The 870 crores.
Yes. No, I didn't get that, Utkarsh.
The unallocated capital employed.
So land cannot be allocated to any business. So it's actually a common corporate asset, actually. That's why it's shown as unallocable.
So when you demerge the company, where will it appear in?
So when it gets demerged, it will stay with the consumer business.
Okay, so I can fairly assume this entire 877 is most likely the consumer business capital employed.
Except for the cash.
Except for the 200 crore cash.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Chintan Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. So one is you related multiple strategy. So just wanted to understand how are we positioning a brand Bajaj versus peers? Is it value or it's more in terms of product differentiation, et cetera? So highlight more on that. And secondly, in continuation with that, so once we're on transformation journey, so we had a lot of white spaces to be filled in terms of product portfolio, et cetera. So once that is-
Sir, I'm going to interrupt. Your voice is not very clear. I got that, how are we positioning Bajaj? I did not get the follow on. I can't hear.
Mr. Shah, please use your handset mode.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, so in continuation with that, so, you know, we are on transformation journey, so right now with white spaces to be filled, et cetera. So once that is sort of done, so how are we looking at, you know, continue to gain market share and higher margins versus peers? So what is the strategy on that? If you can please elaborate. Thank you.
So on the first part, if I got it right, I got part of it. You know, how are we positioning Bajaj, like I mentioned? You know, firstly, as a company, we are moving to a house of brands, a multi-brand company, and therefore not a dependence on a single brand. Within that, Bajaj, of course, is our flagship or leading brand. We are positioning that around the tagline of Built for Life, like I mentioned, which is really around durability or sturdiness. But it will remain a multi-category brand and will operate at multiple price points. It's not at the price points, at least from our traditional anchor point, which is very low value products, it will start moving more northwards without vacating the economy or low value segment. Okay, so at a pricing segment, you know, basis, et cetera. In terms of the transformation and therefore long term, how do we intend to grow market share? This is really an extension of what I was saying. Strategically, as you become a multi-brand company, our product range becomes, or portfolio becomes more fuller. You plug in all the white spaces that you have in our product portfolios, and then each of those product segments and sub-segments should have differentiating characteristics that, you know, to our viewpoint, should have some form of innovation or differentiation that provides a superior proposition to consumers. That, you know, as long as you start tipping over their purchase or brand salience in your favor, I think a 3-4% delta in your favor, actually the exponential impact of that is far more than we actually end up imagining. So if we keep doing that consistently, I think that's really what we are focusing on. That we'll keep doing that. And that's not a, you know, while transformation journey sometimes has a start and finish, but that creating greater consumer proposition, innovation, brand, you know, investment is almost a continuum. If we keep doing that, that's how we see ourselves, you know, driving long-term growth. So hopefully I answered your question, though I could not hear it very clearly.
Oh, no, you answered it pretty well. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's it from my side.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. So thank you everyone once again for joining us. As I said, you know, this is a tough economic situation. It's been so for the last few quarters. We're not out of that and continue to see headwinds around us right now. Given all of that, I will only say that we're very pleased with our performance in Q4. More importantly, you know, we are not focused on quarterly performance. What's important to us is strategically, are we moving in the right direction, doing everything that we're saying on brand, on product, on general discipline, on approach to what we're doing? I think we are holding true to all of those facets. As long as we do that, you know, we are comfortable and happy about that. Thank you very much.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.